Welcome to the Sedated Man Podcast. We're here to help you break free from all that's holding you down and provide you with the tools to embrace the brotherhood of Christ. It's time to stand back up and be the man you were meant to be. Here's your host, Mike Baker.
All right, I want to welcome everybody to the Sedated Man, episode F84, Jeffrey Prather. And I call it a return to manhood. Now, I've heard Jeff on many podcasts before. I managed to get him here, which I'm pretty excited about because Jeff is most definitely qualified to speak on many topics. And we're going to speak on some very specific ones today. But I want Jeff to introduce himself because I don't have enough paper to introduce this guy. So Jeff, please introduce yourself.
Well, thanks for having me. Usually I introduce myself as a retired SOCOM soldier, DIA intelligence collector, ex-DEA special agent, targeted by the deep state and turned whistleblower, repurposed as a chaplain, teacher, leader. I'm also a father. I'm a husband. I'm a son. And more for this podcast, I think it's I'm a product of rape. And I came out of St. Joseph's Orphanage, and I was adopted by a wonderful Catholic Baptist family. And eventually, my wonderful wife found my birth mom, and I found out that she was born in Comanche, Oklahoma Indian Territory. And we ended up helping her through the end of her life. But I got to go from being an orphanage into going to private Catholic schools with Sisters of Notre Dame. And I went to high school with the Jesuits. I'm not a practicing Catholic anymore, but my chaplaincy is Christ Connection Chaplaincy, and that's at ChristChaplaincy.com. And we do pre-Nicene Creed Christianity using an Aramaic gospel because Yeshua, Jesus, Aramaic. We use pre-Talmudic Judaism. The Talmud is the commentary on the Torah. And we look at pre-reservation indigenous Autochthonous Native American religion tradition. And of course, I'm the author of Initiation. But that came about because I met an Apache elder who took me under his wing and taught me the traditional teachings of coming to spiritual manhood.
Very good. As I said, I didn't have enough paper for that. And I think he left a few things out even. So now, Jeff, a lot of times talks, you know, I'm sure you get a lot of conspiracy theory type, you know, questions and all that, which isn't necessarily what I want to cover today. You mentioned the book and kind of how that came about, but I really wanted to ask you, when you decided to write the book. Now, the book is Initiation, and I will put a link to it on either Amazon or Jeff's page. I'll talk to him about that afterwards. But this is the book, so that if you're looking, you can see it. So it's called Initiation. I'm about halfway through it. I think it's a great book, and I think it brings up a topic that a lot of guys are afraid to bring up in churches because initiation, you know, I think that brings about like a toxic masculinity type edge to it, which that's a completely ridiculous line of crap anyway. But Jeff, what exactly inspired you what was it that finally got you to say to yourself, I need to write this book?
Well, I, as you've read in the book, I ran into my Apache teacher who'd been waiting for me in the moccasins. So I was late. True story, moccasin story here. It's Desert Sun. Steve Osborne's up there. He's getting old now. But, you know, people who read the book go up and say, wow, Steve's exactly like you described him. Like, yeah. you know, he told me he'd been waiting for me, and it was time to train. And so that's what I did. And when he died, the year I was deployed, like you, my brother in Christ and my brother veteran.
Thank you.
I was deployed in Korea. I was writing him a letter, and I got a letter back from his sister saying he passed on. So when I came back, I started teaching initiation cycles, because what's very clear, if you look from an indigenous tradition, and really originally the Hebrews, the Hebrews, the Jews were tribal people. Everybody originally was a tribal person, and they know what's important. And so I ended up teaching that, and I'm still teaching that. I have a couple teachers around the country. I've taught it in public schools. I've taught it in Australia, in Japan. And eventually I wrote the book. Kind of wrote the book when the DEA was coming after me, because they moved me to New York. And so I had nothing I wanted to do in New York. So I was sitting, you know, knocking out the book finally. But it's a true story. I mean, some dates and times are changed, but basically it's true. I'm even working on the follow-up books. But it's really important because the premise is that our society is in crisis. And I just said that on my podcast the other day. No civilization, no people, no nation that preys on its young or has its young prey on each other, which is where we're at, where we have 10-year-olds raping and killing each other. Yeah. No nation like that will ever survive. The reason why we have our young preying on each other, not to mention abortion, which is the murder of the unborn.
Yeah.
Which under laws, I still could be aborted. I have nothing to do with the violence that created me. And I think I've turned out pretty well.
Yeah.
Beyond that is that basically emotional children who are grown adults are now having children. So they're basically, for the most part, spoiled male brats. To a lesser extent, there's spoiled female brats. But the reason that is because in any traditional tribal culture, at puberty, and sometimes before, and the cycle varies, but everybody would separate the genders at puberty and then train them for their adulthood roles, mm-hmm. and say, hey, you're not going to be a kid anymore. You're going to be a man. You're going to be a woman. It's going to be the hardest thing you ever did. And you have responsibilities and duties. And they would, after that training, there would be a graduation ceremony of some type. And then they would never be called children again. And they would be expected to act like, and we're talking 15, 16 year old, not common, you know, just like Mary. You know, when the angel comes to Mary, she doesn't shirk. She goes, my soul magnifies the Lord. She's ready. Beth Hamilton, the little girl got her arm bit off by the shark.
Yep.
You know, more courageous than me, had just given her life over to Christ 2 weeks ago. And she goes, okay, this is the beginning of this. And so people were spiritually prepared to move forward. Mm-hmm. And so beyond that, men and women are different and unique, and they need each other. And then finally, no one tells another what to do. When you're an adult, you have to decide things for yourself. And that is the cycle of traditional initiation, which, you know, Westerners think linearly, indigenous people think circularly and cyclically. And the easiest way to say that is spring, summer, fall, winter. But to put it in terms of personal development, it's childhood, youth, adulthood, and old age.
Right.
And in every one of those sections, in the circle, you have different duties. And so you define yourself out of that spoke of what your duties are at different times, and then you have to recognize the duty and gender and age set that you are addressing, which is why, like in my martial arts school, which has been going in Tucson for 30 years, and I've been in martial arts for over 50 years, they call me sensei or shihan or dai shihan if they want to be formal, because they're reminding me of my duty to them. And that's in traditional cultures. you'll hear them say, Father, Shita in Apache, or Shima, and say, Shie, my son. And when you call someone, just like in the military, when you say, Sergeant, Captain, you're reminding them of the relationship of the duty.
Yeah. No, that's, you know, would you say then that that really congregations are somewhat of a tribal entity? And I'm talking tribal in a general term, not a specific, but
they should be.
Yeah.
But most oftentimes they're not today.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't know, have you read the Didache?
No.
Well, that's okay. A lot of pastors haven't, but here's your homework is go look up the Didache. And so the Didache is...
You might have to spell that for me, Jeff.
D-I-D-A-C-H-E. And it is the, it didn't make it into the Bible because it was found later, but it is the training of the 12 apostles in the way of Jesus Christ. And it's a handbook uh-huh. on becoming, for Gentiles, a Christian. And a handbook is just like a manual of arms. It's not a huge textbook, but it's a guidebook. And the point there is Didakaos in Greek means master. And most of the time, if you translate the scriptures from the Greek, most of the time, the apostles refer to Yeshua as master, not teacher. And so a master then has an apprentice.
Right.
Without still, you're like, I'm sure as a plumber, you apprenticed under
the
plumber.
Yep.
You had to learn how to do it. It was kinetic. And what church has become, it was never meant to be, was a professor lecture. And it's all symbolic. And you sit there and passive. And Christians were never meant to be passive. Jews were never meant to be passive. Moshe, Moses, David, all of the great Jewish leaders were warriors first.
Yes, absolutely.
And Yeshua was hard. The first thing is, if he couldn't survive the flagellation, which is pretty well shown in the Passion, although he probably didn't speak Latin. And the Aramaic was not quite right. But the point is,
yeah.
hard enough to stay on mission.
Yeah.
And it had to be hard. So there was nothing wimpy about it. In fact, you know, I tell this when I'm talking to pastors all the time is, I don't want to get political in church. Well, Yeshua was executed for political speech in church with a weapon, a court. Upsetting financial tables.
Yeah.
And the only thing he ever said to go buy was a sword, was a weapon.
Yeah.
Today, it's so, you know, it's been turned on its head for control purposes. But the people who have least submitted to that are the indigenous people, mostly of North America. I've been with the Miskito in Central America. I've been with the Aymara in Chile in the Andes. But most of my time was with the Lakota, Dakota, and the Apache, the Inde people. And they are really the last to submit. America is the greatest country on earth, but we have our sins. We should admit them, trust them, not project them. And because they are the last to submit, they still have a lot of their spiritual traditions. And there's nothing more important than the tradition of initiation of passage to adulthood.
So, okay. So you covered a lot there. And that's great. That's exactly what I was looking for. Because really what it comes down to is, you know, no, pastors are afraid to bring politics up. And a friend of mine, by the name of Jim Spinotti, and I can tell his name because he's perfectly okay with it. He's from, I want to say back east. I want to say New York, but don't quote me on that. He might get upset if he's not. Anyway, he wrote a book called There's a Hireling in the Church. And the problem comes when these guys are dependent as a pastor or a preacher on a paycheck, and they don't want to rock the boat because that boat then causes their paycheck to maybe shrivel up and blow away. But I agree that the preachers are not nearly as bold as they should be. It's okay to stand up front and tell people that they should be able to take a stand. I think preaching has become entirely too soft. And I think a lot of the reason for that is this initiation thing that we're talking about. I think it's been lost, kind of lost in the sauce through the years. And so, you know, books like yours, I mean, I don't even think that you have to, I don't think anybody has to be as into indigenous ways as you are to understand that they have a place and that they had an importance and that there's a lesson to be learned. You know, I mean, the book is great. You know, whether I'm into indigenous or that type of thing is irrelevant when it comes to reading it, because the message is correct. All right. So with that, then here we go. So we know that there should be somewhat of a rite of passage, so to speak, and correct me if I'm using terminology that you won't use, but there should be somewhat of a rite of passage from boy to man. And what you always say is that boys are born and men are trained. And I absolutely agree with that. And I think in a lot of cases, especially with Christian men, it's the church's job to help those, to give those men the tools they need to step up and begin to train. Because like we said, congregations in and of themselves are somewhat tribal. So you've covered, okay, exactly why we should be, or why parents should be returning to an initiation model, so to speak. But what about men? Okay, now I'm going to bring myself into this because this is something we didn't have time to go over. I grew up, my dad told me I was stupid. I can't tell you. It must have been almost every day as long as I could remember until I moved out. And so when I moved out, I was convinced that I was the dumbest person on the planet. And it probably took 10 years from that point for me to even begin to remotely believe that I wasn't. All right. So then you get men who come from that kind of background. What can men do who believe that they missed that initiation? What can they now do to maybe, as a grown man, maybe go through that initiation and step forward? Does that make sense?
Sure. And, you know, I've taught lots of people, you know, tens of thousands, and most of them are adults. And I always, you know, tell the teenagers in the room, you're here on time. Everybody else is late. So you're pretty good. But, you know, my wife's family is Jewish. And of course, there's the bar mitzvah and the bat mitzvah.
Yep.
Where we're seeing the scroll. But that's really become kind of ceremonial. And the quinceañera for Catholic girls is just a party with a mass in the morning. And so it's just very become watered down. And the reason, one of the reasons I think why, is because there were all these tribal customs. And one of the problems with a lot of missionaries, and even Billy Graham said this, was you didn't give Jesus to the native peoples, you gave white culture to them.
Yeah.
I always like to say that when they sent the kids to missionary school, they cut their hair and they got rid of their buckskin. So cutting their hair like Samson, and buckskins were the first clothes that God gave Adam and Eve. Not the camo were the first clothes. That was what they made. But first clothes that God made, Genesis, were buckskin. So why are you cutting off God clothes? And that's because, you know, we're ethnocentric at best and racist at worst. But no, you don't have to be indigenous. If I'm teaching Japanese martial arts, I teach a lot in Japanese. If I'm teaching stuff from an Apache tradition, I teach in Apache, just like the scripture we use is Aramaic, because Yeshua spoke Aramaic, simply because a copy of a copy of a copy gets more blurred.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you... The two great rules of North American Native warriorship are nothing must ever be done to harm the children, and everything is born of women. And that's the, you know, one of my students did that painting behind us, and that symbolizes that right there. But you can also get that right from Yeshua saying, you know, suffer the little children to come unto me.
Yeah.
So it is universal. Because it is ethical, it's moral, and it's also practical. But if you don't have that, then, you know, I'd say you probably did this by going into the military. I've seen a lot of guys who have had too easy of lives, and their parents were too easy on them. So what do? They join the Marines. They put themselves through their own initiation.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of families who are not Christians come into the dojo. And the dojo can be an initiation process. You don't have to sit there and talk about being a good person. You got to do it. And, you know, then you absorb it by doing it. Mm-hmm. So in my dojo, you know, that's, I was talking to a, you know, mother, daughter that had been with me for over 12 years and they're LDS.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not real fond of LDS, but I'm not, but Christians have done more good for the world than anybody else combined. But I'm like, well, how do you like my ministry? Because I've never been to any of your stuff. I'm like, you've been in it for 12 years. What are you talking about? And she smiled. Because you draw lessons from what you're doing, you know? And so you got to find yourself a good teacher and not just a, not a professor, but a teacher who is a master and then who can teach you how to do that. And as you do things, then you will start to learn how to do that. So I teach that through initiation straight up. I teach that in my chaplaincy. I teach that in my dojo. I teach that in my horsemanship. I teach that in warrior school. So there's lots of avenues. But first, you have to have the spiritual basis for that. Mm-hmm. So for, you know, Christians, scripturally, they can look at the baptism. And that's, you know, very similar to the sweat lodge, the tachin in Inde or the inipi in Lakota, and then coming out of the water and then going up to fast and pray. And that's very much American. On the, in the early days of America, governors would declare days of fasting and prayer. Mm-hmm. That's kinetic. And then as you empty out, then you begin to discern. And you can get the gift of the great spirit or the Holy Spirit or the great Holy Spirit or Bob, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter.
Bob.
I used to say that in the dojo that I had a lady who was married to a guy named Bob. I'm not going to call it Bob.
So, you know, you said something very similar. My wife and I, so we're remarried. We're a mixed family. But we have been married almost 25 years and successfully married. We're still best friends. And so we have counseled many, many, many couples over the years. And what you just said is very similar to things that we have told couples over the years. And with men, especially when they're looking, because they've lost their way. And it seems like more and more men have that look on their face that I don't know what I'm doing. I've lost my way. I mean, you know, the common theme now is happy wife, happy life. And that just drives my wife and I nuts because it's such a counterproductive term. But we always tell them, when I'm counseling the men, I'm very straightforward and abrupt with them, but I'll tell them, look, you need, if you feel you're lacking as a husband, you need to find a guy, maybe even in your congregation or work. I don't care. I'll try to encourage them to find somebody in their congregation because that's their community, or it should be at least. And I'll say, look at a guy who gets along great with his wife, and you go ask that guy if he'll talk with you, if he'll tell you what he's doing. Look at their fruits. That's what we always tell them. Look at the fruits. Don't just ask somebody because they look smart. You know, look at their fruits. And I think that's what you're saying as far as go out and find those things. Like, for instance, me, yeah, I had military training, and yeah, I went through a lot. Now, as a support guy, you don't get a lot of tactical training. Like very little. In fact, they will veer support guys, at least where I was, away from tactical training because that's not their primary. So here I am now, and we can touch on this a little if you want to. Here we are now in times where if you had asked me a year ago if we were going to be where we're at now, I'd have shook my head and said, no way. I would have said that we were way out from that. But here we are a year later, and we're way further along as far as our country is going than I ever thought I'd see in my lifetime. And it bothers me. It scares me for my kids, scares me for my grandkids. And so now all that tactical training I missed out on, I feel like I need to make up for. So I have actually enrolled myself in a combatives class because I don't feel as a man, I'm at the level I need to be. And what you're saying is don't be afraid of that. Don't put it to the side. I think you're saying if you feel you're lacking, go out and find an expert and make that happen, correct?
Yeah, correct. You know, I got my combatives DVDs and I've taught over 17,000 soldiers my CQC course. Something you mentioned before is in the Didache, there's a section at the end about Christmongers, you know, Christ, like fishmongers, selling a Jesus cheap, just touch the screen, send me your own. And they're like, if they're going to stick around and they don't, after a week, then if they're not, if they don't have a trade, send them on their way. So it's a real practical manual. But, you know, in the military, I just had a dad whose son is going to the military, and he said he's a squad leader. I'm, that's a first leadership position. That's leadership at the bases. We just pulled our kids out of a Christian school because the leadership changed, and we got teachers going for Black Lives Matter. And the Black Lives Manifesto says destruction of the nuclear family. Well, the destruction of the nuclear family is the divine trinity on earth. And that is child, mother, father. And I'm putting it in the correct order of importance from a warrior perspective. Child, mother, father, not father, mother, child. And then when you see that order, you start to see duties. And it's the husband's duty to lead. And I'm always yelling at my guys. You can ask any of my guys. I always yell at them the most because they've got the most on them. All the time. That's why if you look inside the cover of the book, you'll see a little logo there of a warrior with a shield, and the spear is going up to God. That's the connection. He's responsible for everything, for the spiritual well-being.
He's right there.
The shield has the four directions in the cross, and behind it is the woman, but the woman is higher.
Yeah.
Because she's a higher human being, because she can bring life. We can't. They can do everything we can do. We can't do everything they can do. Area. And then above that is the little children. And the highest is the little girl because she's the next future.
Right.
So there's a triage right there of duties and responsibilities. And I don't know if you've gotten to the hunt game yet in the book, but the hunt game is a kinetic game to show you about duties and responsibilities. And you have a family. And sometimes a woman will play a husband, and a husband will play a wife, and then somebody will play the little, usually I plant the little kid because the little kid wants to wander off. And then there's wolves, bears, and lions out there. They always get eaten until they realize that they got to divide duties, and somebody's got to be running this ship, and it's supposed to be the man.
Yeah.
And part of it is confusing because, conventional pastors love to put Paul equal to Yeshua. So I'm very heretical. I'm not anti-Paul, but I'm like, you're kidding me. I'm not going to put Paul with Yeshua by any means.
No.
So Paul's, they always love to say, hey, women should be silent because Paul says, keep them silent. Who's the witness to the resurrection? Who's the only one brave enough to be at the crucifixion and at the tomb? It's the Magdalene. It's the watchtower. So. If you're a Christian and you don't have anybody like me around or like you around, then if you want to study sonship, look at the example of Yeshua as sonship. Mm-hmm. A tough one. If you want to look at fathership, then look at the example of fathership from the point of view of our Father in heaven. It's a really tough one.
Yep.
If you want to look at mothership, look at Mary, How's this start off? Hey, you're pregnant, you're unmarried, and you can be stoned to death and turned out. What do you think?
Yeah.
Right there. There's no hesitation. My soul magnifies the Lord.
Yep.
I'm ready for this. Hey, Joseph, you can turn her out and stone her, and everybody will pat you on the back and be happy. Or you can keep her and have everybody smirking behind your back. After a dream, I'm going to keep her. Mm-hmm. And right there begins, right there is where you can study it if you get past all the vanilla soup that is being put out on Sunday.
Vanilla soup. I'm going to write that down. I like that. Go ahead.
It's that that Buddy Jesus movie. You guys ever see that one with the angels? So if you want to... It begins with, there's a war in heaven. I see, and Yeshua says, I see Satan fall from the sky like lightning. we're children born in war. We are meant to be challenged. And Yeshua's life from the moment of birth, even before birth, is a challenge. And yeah, challenge all the way. And that, so if you don't have anything else, that's where you can start with that. But it's much better to be able to relate than to the cycles. Like the childhood cycle is stay alive. In the old days and in third world countries, a lot of kids die. So how do you stay alive? You stay alive by obeying your parents. Well, how do you learn how to obey your parents? Well, honor your father and mother. We'll go back to the 10 rules. I'm going to have my chaplaincy camp here. People are coming in. I'm going to have a little thing they can put on the refrigerator, which has Moses' 10 commandments, Yeshua's 2 commandments, and the 2 pillars of warriorship, just so they can, that's the, and then we have a class on family mission statement.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you've seen mission statements.
Oh, we've actually promoted them as well. Mission statement for the family. It helps us establish family identity.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where you can start with all that, but there's so much in the way of that that it is just it's just lost, and it also becomes this lecture that everybody gets bored with. Right. And it's like you're supposed to be this wimpy kind of folk. A lot of traditional Jews and Christians think they're supposed to be passive, and there's nothing passive about it.
No, I agree. So no, that's all excellent. Yeah. So talking about the kids then, what are things that fathers, okay. So today's society is just this train wreck. All right. So what are things fathers can do with their sons and their daughters to help them understand their roles, kind of like you talk about in your book a little bit, but to understand their roles without pigeonholing them, if that makes sense?
Well, so, the first thing I got to say is, you know, androgyny is terrible, and you can be anything, but at the base level of tribalism, is that a boy is a warrior, and then a girl is a healer. Now, what level of warrior? Well, you know, I've got to serve in special mission units. I'm a 15th degree black belt, but I've done exorcisms. That all depends upon what your calling is, whatever level that you serve at.
Right.
You know, if you can protect life with your pistol, if you can protect life with your rifle, there's certain ranges to that. If you can protect life with the Holy Spirit coming through your soul, then the range is limitless.
Right.
That's all for you to decide. And that's, again, part of that. The first thing, my guys regularly put themselves through the cycles every day. So the other part of the cycles, Jews certainly live by a cycle. Native peoples live by a cycle. Christians are supposed to live by a cycle, but they don't. And the cycle that they should live by is the Christic cycle, which is birth, baptism, transfiguration, crucifixion, resurrection. And then we really begin our cycle with Pentecost. And so we study those and we emulate those kinetically. And if you want to have experiences of receiving the Holy Spirit, then you got to do it. You can't just talk about it. Talking about it doesn't bring it. Doing it brings it. So right there is another way you can do that by fasting. And of course, that's a big thing, and going up into the mountains. And, you know, I can ride up into the mountains. I was riding up this morning and praying on horseback traditionally. So that is very key to the ability to do that. But you can be anything. But at the core, a boy should be a warrior. Well, what's a warrior in a traditional culture? So I'll just talk Apache. The warrior term in Apache, in Inde, because the Apaches don't call themselves Apache. That's a Hopi word for enemy, I bet you, is Nagan Kase. Okay, the Apache word for soldier is silada, and silada comes from the Spanish soldado. Silada and Nalgan Kashe don't sound anything like each other. Why? Because they're not the same thing at all. A soldier is, in the old days, was a bunch of guys with a bunch of guys, and guys alone become crude and brutal.
Yeah, I agree.
Warrior, on the other hand, is always around women and children and cannot ever become cruel and brutal. Not that I'm not trying to idealize. Apaches did plenty of terrible things, killing kids. Everybody has done that. But the concept was that they are a warrior protector of their people. And they would rather die than fail them. I'm getting all emotional. And that's why after we beat we as Americans beat the greatest army in the world, the British, several tribes, with like Geronimo with like 30 guys, held off multiple armies of the greatest army in the world, us. Because they were imbued with this spirit of protecting who they were sworn to protect. There's warrior societies with a lot of the plains peoples where they would wear a sash and they'd stake themselves out. And they're like, I'm staking myself out. I'm not retreating. So I'm going to die in place protecting the women and children as they leave. And that is, you know, very rarely shown in Westerns. I've done a couple Westerns. I love Westerns, but unfortunately it's not shown. But, you know, I was teaching in warrior school, which is my tactical company. It was primarily a government training company. And I trained all the intelligence branches and all the military branches, including the Coast Guard. And I had a class one time. It was usually a five-day pre-deployment class. For guys like you, because they didn't give you a man-op training, but you could get overrun easily. So
yeah,
a pistol, day a rifle, day of tactical operations, trauma medicine, paint bullets. Anyway, we're showing the clip from Patriot, and there's a scene in the Patriot where Keith Ledger comes in, I think his name is, and into the church. He goes, "Hey, I need everybody right now. We're being defeated. Let's go." And they all look at him and nobody stands up. It doesn't work. And then his girlfriend stands up and goes, "Well, just last week you were at my dad's house saying what a patriot you are. What about you saying?" And she goes, "All I'm asking you to do is be the man you say you are," which really translates to this: "All I'm asking you to do is go die for me."
Yeah.
And they all stand up and they go, and there's a dad who stands up, and then his son stands up, and the guy's in the class, he goes, "Yeah, that's me. He was in our class. Like, why aren't you in the movies?" He goes, "I got tired of pretending." But movies like that are our modern stories. And I show a lot of clips like that, but that is one thing I teach women when I'm counseling and do marriages too is, you cannot nag us into taking the garbage out, but you can shame us into dying for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Nagging gets a whole lot of nothing done is what it does. But yeah, no, you can't nag us into it. Very well put.
If you call us to be, and then they call us to be what we are supposed to be, and if we call them to be what they're supposed to be, and that's why, you know, it's father, mother, son, daughter, sensei, yeah, whatever. That is so important to do that and practice that and interact that. And you can start to learn that in a dojo, a good dojo. You know, there's very few of them. You can do that doing anything, but the person that you're trained with has to have something more than just physical technique. And there has to be a spiritual basis for that. And I'm always saying my spiritual base. So my core teaching is, you know, if you've been on my YouTube, there's a little video of me doing a Veterans Day speech. I'm honored to get to put on those terrible green dress greens, you know, that they're finally getting rid of.
And, finally.
And I said, you know, America is exceptional because of our exceptional love of life and freedom. We love life and freedom so much that we will send our sons and daughters out to fight, kill, and die for it. And we love it so much that we will send our sons and daughters out to foreign countries to fight, kill, and die for it. And then after we win, when we're unleashed, we always win, because there's nothing ever the world has ever seen like the American warrior.
Yep.
World's never seen others, including you.
Yep.
S4 is then we give that country back, and no one else in the history of the world has ever done that, ever, except
yep.
Despite our sins of enslaving African tribal peoples and genociding North American and South American Native tribal peoples. But what makes that up is our Judeo and commandments, Christic, two commandments, Native, two pillars, four. And if you follow that, and if you do it, then you will track. And that paradigm is really easily provable. Because if you look at the Middle East, what country is doing great? Little Israel.
Oh, yeah.
They're following. There's other richer countries, but what's got a middle class, what's doing well? They're following Ten Commandments.
Basically. Yep.
If you look at Canada above us, problems. Why? Well, Canada came off of France. What happened during the French Revolution? The French Revolution tried to get rid of Christianity in France and replace it with human secularism. Let's go south to Mexico. I spent a lot of time there. Great people. What happened during the Mexican Revolution? They tried to get rid of Christianity, which is Catholicism, hanging priests and closing churches. And so they lost their core, their core value set. Because when things get tough, you have to have some kind of core value set.
Yeah, it's what keeps people together. Yeah. All right, so last thing, just real quick. So veering off of initiation, coming to present day right now, there are a lot of men who are completely clueless. And I think we've touched on that a little bit. They're clueless in their congregations. They're clueless in their own homes. There's been this huge push for men to step back, really, that it's not okay to be masculine, that it's all these things, and it's all bullcrap, absolute bullcrap. It's okay for men to lead. It's okay for men to be masculine. A true marriage is going to be made when the dude is doing what he's supposed to do and leading the way he's supposed to be leading. Now, granted, I understand that the woman has her role and her part and parcel in that too, but it starts with the guy. That's what I've always taught. You set the tone for the house. So now you've got all these guys in today's and everything that's going on today, whether it be COVID, and you've got all these guys who haven't necessarily gone through an initiation, but you've got COVID and you've got Black Lives Matter and you've just got all this noise, probably more noise than they have ever noticed. And the question that comes out of their mouth is what do I do? I don't know what to do. And so then you've got the preppers standing up saying, you need to do this. But really, what in your opinion should a man who has no sense of self today, when you tell him he should be prepared, what does prepared look like?
Well, besides listening to guys like us,
yeah.
Let's take you, for example. You decided on your own to go do a combatives course. Good for you. So, quoting Psalms, I think, is be still and know that I am God. If you come to a chaplaincy service, our first 5 minutes and our last 5 minutes of service are always silent connection prayer in the Christ to receive the gifts of the fruits of discernment and deliverance. Shutting out the dialogue to figure out where I'm at. It's kind of like orienting yourself by your Lensatic compass. You got to stop. You got to open up and see where you're heading. So one of the things I teach in a lot of my classes and some of my stuff's on, you have lots of DVDs and stuff on YouTube of my combatives and martial arts is protecting and how to protect your wife or protect a dignitary protection, which I've done a lot of as well. And what always happens is the guy always wants to go fight the adversary. And so then I send a second attacker to the wife or the dignitary because they're no longer protecting, they're chasing. And that's the beginning of the seduction of evil. So right there is a lesson. It's a kinetic lesson that is tactically sound, but it's also ethically sound. And then you can pull your scripture easily from that and not be pursued by the seduction evil, which by the way, is oppression, which everybody's oppressed, then obsession. Like if I'm hitting you on the arm, you become obsessed with, and then infestation, your focus goes in. Infection, infestation, and then in rare cases, possession. So that's one clear example of how you should approach your combatives training with the role to protect.
Yeah.
Another one is talking about the house and the home. Inside the home, that's really my wife's job, is the food, you know, the bedroom and everything. The perimeter, the outside of what gets in, that's my job.
Right.
And I define that. You know, my wife always says, if you need to buy another gun, go ahead. I don't care. If you need some new tactical gear, I'm happy. In a simple relationship, I teach two commands if there's trouble out there. One is behind and one is away. That's my command to my wife if something's happening, behind or away. And then she has those same commands for our kids, behind or away. And so delineating, so I'm trying to answer your question as best I can.
No, you're doing excellent.
Okay. For anybody's situation is, first of all, you have to become quiet and not do talk in prayer, praise in prayer, sing in prayer. You know, I can tell you, you know, I'm a master martial artist, but I appreciate a compliment, but I don't want to hear constantly how great I am. I want to teach my students how to do what I've done. Mm-hmm. But to do that, they got to shut up, stop praising me or talking about it, and then absorb, which is hard. you know, like that, open everything and absorb. So that's becoming quiet. So that's Zazen, that's, you know, non-thought meditation, silent prayer, reflection, however you want to get there, then apply that to a particular situation, which I've given you the example of combatives,
yep.
I've given you the example of the home, I've given you the example of the personal relationship, and then when you find that little piece, then you start to build out. So most people come to me through the dojo. Why do they come to me to the dojo? Because the dojo, well, martial arts in America now, not when I started, but now it's an institution. So you have a sign up and they can see that sign. Although most places are studios. They have trophies. I have no trophies. I have a kamidana, a spirit shelf, which is traditional in Japan. It has a mirror on it. Some Christians don't like it. I'm saying, what about image bearers? It's a mirror reflecting an image. You just open your mind a little bit. and you know, there's scrolls from my teacher that he wrote, and one says in Japanese, God one breath away. The other one says, mind and eye of God. So it's all about God, but it's just from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. But everybody feels better when they come in there, even though we're doing all this scary stuff, because it's a welcoming environment. I always got little kids putting their heads up against the window looking in. So be welcoming, but be fierce. Fierceness is not anger.
Yeah.
It's very different. And so that's the beginning of how you can apply that. And then some people like the dojo, so then they'll come to warrior school, or they'll come to horsemanship, or they'll come to the chapels, or they'll go through initiation course. And so build it little by little.
Right. No, that's an excellent answer. Excellent. Because I think, you know, I was there's so many guys, they'll ask me too, you know, I don't know what to do. And I might make some suggestions, but really, you know, I think you're right. I mean, guys just need to get quiet and they need to decide what's important and they need to proceed in those directions. And they need to not worry about what anybody has to say about it. If they feel convicted, and this is what I've told guys, if you feel convicted that you need to pursue, whether it be firearms or combatives or more food in your house, I don't care what it is, then be direct about it. Be, you know, make sure this is what I need to be doing. This is what I need to focus on for the protection of my family, not to become this extremist whack job per se, but for the protection of my family and any others that the Lord may appoint to me to protect.
No, that's really true. And, you know, I keep bringing up Mel Gibson movies, but that's because they're great.
I like them too. They're great.
He's a deeply convicted Catholic. You know, he likes the old mass and everything. But, you know, you and I are soldiers and we study bravery. And I mentioned Bethany Hamilton. I'm always in awe of a little 12-year-old girl that was braver than me. When I was running around Central America, I was in awe of the nuns because I had either a 45 under my blouse or rosary. But if you look at Desmond Doss, out of Audie Murphy and Chapman and all these really amazing heroes that I hope I could emulate if I had to, is he may be the bravest because from his conviction, he says, no, I'm not gonna kill. You know, I don't agree with that because it says thou shalt not murder, not kill.
Right.
That was his baseline. But was he a wimp? Not at all. But the great thing about watching the movie is that you can see him being prepared for what he will be called to do every step of the way. And because it's a movie, we get to see all the pieces. And then there's a scene in the chaos of the battlefield on the escarpment. They call it Hacksaw Ridge. He calls it the escarpment. Is he's been fighting all day. He's probably out of water. You know, we know what that's like. And he goes, I can't hear you. I can't. So even in the chaos, he stops to listen. And then he hears medic and he runs back in and then does a miracle. You know, he says 50, his commander says 100. So the citation says 75, but
yeah.
Done those carries after two or three guys, you're done. He does a minimum of 75 guys. That's you can't do that on your own. But that's an example of first you become still and open, and people don't know how to do that, and then you become active, and then you stay on that course and keep going.
Absolutely. All right, Jeff. Well, we are at the end of our time. I wanted to give you a minute to shamelessly plug whatever of your stuff you would like to plug. Please go ahead.
Well, I'll plug your stuff because I think you're doing great work and it's really
thank
important.
You.
This is another part of your oath to support and defend the Constitution and the church. And, you know, I would say that the church is me and you right now, where two or more are gathered, the connection, because that's how it works. But if you want to hear, you know, my stuff, it's jeffreypritha.com. If you want to hear me on YouTube, I'm on there. If you want to get more in-depth stuff, you can go to Patreon. If you're interested in our services, which are chaplaincy services, primarily about spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare isn't about little girls bed floating. It's about being proactive. That's at christchaplaincy.com. Combative stuff at Warrior School at BujinkanUSA.com. The book's really good. It's funny. It's me making a lot of mistakes. story. You know, Apaches, like most Indians, are really funny people. So that's a good read.
Yep.
I'm working on the second volume. Got 5 or 6 books, but
right.
Anyway, you know,
you have stuff. You have stuff on Patreon as well.
Yeah, I have, and I put a lot of. So right now, I'm working on how not just the history of the deep state, but what you can do in your own neighborhood to get past it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have videos up, I have articles up, I just put some stuff up, and how you do that. And you start with your family and define roles and have discussions, and then you start with your neighbors, and then you keep pushing out from there.
Right. All right. And I will put links to most of your stuff, if not all of it, on my Patreon page as well. So I want to thank you for coming today. I really appreciate everybody being here listening. And I mean, you know, like I always say, go out and conquer. Thanks again, Jeff.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to The Sedated Man, bringing Christian men back to power in their homes, congregations, and communities. We'll see you next time.